The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are back the second hour. It's been a busy one so far. We talked about some of the chaos at the ACC meetings in the first hour. We'll talk to Ari Wasserman coming up here, evaluating what recruiting looks like. It's already well into the 24 recruiting class. Your phone calls continue as well, and let's check in with Special K in Orlando. Special K, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. Appreciate you.
We chatted last Tuesday
about 4 minutes, and right at the end of the conversation, you said, man, that guy really talks fast. I told you I was a 21-year news and sports guy
right.
on TV.
Oh, yes. I was very envious of your diction.
And you said, I didn't have to talk that fast. I was a sports writer. And I want to say, my only grandfather's name was Paul, and he was a great guy. So you must be a great guy, too. But I got a little excited. You said something right at the end of our conversation. In my 21-year career, I've met three presidents, Muhammad Ali, freaking Tiger Woods, Shaka, 20 times in the locker room, Dale Earnhardt Sr. I met everybody, but I was kind of excited to talk to you. But once we talked about our Nick Saban at Kent State experience, and I asked you the question who his mentor was, and you correctly nailed it with Don James. That's our opinion and my opinion. And you indicated you were writing a book on that. Now, when I've listened to you and watched your show, you said you were writing a book, but you bagged it because it wasn't going the way you thought it would be. My question to you is, if you're writing a book about about Nick Saban, I want to buy it, and where can I buy it?
Well, it needs some clarification, Kay. I had a publisher call me right about a year ago after this kerfuffle happened between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. And it was a year ago Thursday, I believe, that happened. And the next day, an agent who had represented me called, and a couple weeks later, he said, listen, I really want this book, and I want it badly. And he was with the biggest publishing house in the world. And he said, I need it. I want it for August of 24. And here's what, this wasn't going on with me, but with subsequently in negotiations with the agent, I mean, he made an offer, which was, you know, pretty astounding for a project like that, and I accepted it. I began doing the due diligence, and quite frankly, I didn't see the book. I didn't see the book. It was complex enough to do it, and so I decided to get out of it with the idea of maybe doing one later on just a more singular subject, such as Saban. I frankly think I did not like there was just some things about it. When you're rushing a book out, it's going to depend heavily on sensationalism. I don't think you can write a book that quickly, and I discovered that very quickly in the process. So I didn't waste a lot of time before I was able to get out of it. It may still be alive. I really haven't kept up with it because once I got out, I was done. But I have thought about that because I was reading something the other day about a guy who has just came out with a book this week on Martin Luther King Jr. Now, Martin Luther King Jr. has been dead more than 50 years. You do books on people that have been dead 1,000 years. So I really think I started thinking about that in the aftermath. That's why I said what I did.
I understand. I was in Memphis at the Lorraine Hotel. It was a spellbinding moment. Well, they have the old cars there at the Lorraine Hotel there. It's amazing. Yeah, I know you're from Memphis, and it was just freaking amazing. It's one of the most amazing spots.
So if I could ask you a question, Kay, of all the people you've met, of all the folks you've interviewed, some of them are very quick, I know, but which one stood out? Which one meant the most to you?
Well, people ask me that all the time. I'll tell you the most disappointing night in my life. I turned down a dinner date with Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, my God.
Because I was sitting in the restaurant, and she had just handed out a trophy at Keeneland in Lexington. I was doing a telethon at 11:30.
Okay.
I was having Diet Cokes before I went on the air, no beers, at 11:30, a 19-hour, 14-hour telethon, starting at 11:30 at night. And the contingent came in, and I knew the people. They invited me to dinner. I had a telethon to go to. So that's the most disappointing. Next time I talk about Kentucky football, I'll maybe figure out who my best interview
so my
was.
So my guess is that Liz Taylor got over your rejection.
Well, do you realize how tall she is?
I don't know much. I mean, I know enough about her. I mean, I know how many times she's been married, but I never knew how tall she was.
Well, take a guess. You got Don James right. Take a guess on Liz Taylor's height.
I'm guessing Liz was 5'9 and a half.
Oh, 4'11.
4'11?
4'11. That's why she always wore high heels.
I never knew that.
4'11. Well, that's what I'm saying. When we talk,
when I think of Elizabeth Taylor, I mostly think of her lying down, not standing up.
A lot of the guys in the movies were in holes on the set because she was so short. That's what I read. And she was 4'11.
Well, now I know why Richard Burton divorced her twice. Hey, thanks for the call, Kay. A lot of people don't even know who we were talking about. And I barely did. Griffin is up next in Florida. Hello, Griffin. Go right ahead.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for having me on today. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in today. I know it's the SEC Network, and that's your thing, but in Tallahassee, Florida, I'm the big Florida State Seminoles fan, and that week one matchup we have against LSU, I think, not only sets up the stage for our season, but LSU's as well, and just wanted to hear your thoughts on the game.
I'm vacillating back and forth. It is a critically important game. I think as you look at the game, I think the site favors Florida State a little bit, but I am impressed with what LSU has done in the offseason. So at the moment, I'm leaning toward LSU.
That's fair enough. I respect it. I'm obviously going to disagree being in Tallahassee, but the reason why I say that is because of three guys mainly on the offensive side of the ball for Florida State. That's, like you could probably guess, Jordan Travis, sure, Johnny Wilson, and oh my goodness, brain fart. Trey Benson, excuse me. Those three guys.
We mentioned Travis a few minutes ago. He's considered one of the top quarterbacks in the country. I don't know. I mean, I think some of that game very well could be similar to last game. The one advantage I think both teams are better than they were a year ago. I don't think either team on that date were great. I thought, frankly, there was a sloppy game, and LSU pretty much had to do everything it could to lose it.
I agree with that. It wasn't to be honest, I think the reason why Florida State won that game last year is because we had the week zero matchup against Duquesne. Allowed them to get out there and go full speed, and then LSU walks in not playing anybody before that. And so that's a tough one to deal with. But I think going back to that, biggest room of improvement for Florida State this year is Johnny Wilson. I mean, that dude, you can't guard him one-on-one. He's 6'7". And I know it was a sloppy game again that we won against Oklahoma, but the way he was able to just go over and control the game like that, I thought was very impressive and gives me a lot to look forward to.
Well, I can't wait to continue this conversation, Griffin. I may change my mind before we get to it, but right now that's how I feel. We'll take a break. We are going to talk to Ari Wasserman in a couple of minutes about what is happening on the recruiting trail. And if you're a Georgia fan, a lot has been going on. Ari joins us next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, continuing with more phone calls. Glenn in Atlanta. Hello, Glenn. Good afternoon.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Paul?
Hello.
Hey. You ready for my question?
I am ready. Go right ahead.
All right. The SEC has glommed off about four teams from the Big 12. Big 12 lost one to the Big 10. It lost another one to the Pac-10. But right now, with all the shakeups, what's your opinion here about the Pac-10 and the Big 12 joining, or the Big 12 taking another big chunk of the Pac-10 teams? I'd like to hear your opinion.
Yeah,
on
Glenn.
That.
First of all, I don't think the Pac-12 has anything to offer the Big 12 that they can't get on their own. They may. I think there's still some attractive schools out there. Oregon, Washington have been rumored to go maybe to the Big 10 or the Big 12. But I think it would be a mistake for the two leagues to merge, because the Big 12 has done pretty well. I would not have given them a nickel to survive 2 years ago when OU and Texas left, but they have cobbled together a respectable league. Meanwhile, the Pac-12 continues to sink into oblivion. And you know, the one thing they may have going for them is Colorado with Dion, but that's not enough to save the league. It simply is not. It might entice Colorado to consider coming back to where they used to be. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. John in Atlanta, you're on the air. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just have two quick questions for you. The first one involves the Ole Miss quarterback room, and I was just wondering how you think Lane Kiffin is going to handle, you know, coming from a pretty depleted quarterback room this past year with just Dart and Altmyer, and how Spencer Sanders and Walker Howard are going to play a mix, and does he appreciate Jackson Dart's experience in that system, and how far does that take him?
Yeah, I don't think it takes Jackson Dart too far because, I mean, that is perhaps the most competitive room in the country. You've got the right guy making the call. He's got to be careful, but I don't know what more he needs to see from Jackson Dart. Do you?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you with that. I think at this point, from what I've been reading, I think it's Dart's job to lose at this point. After the spring game and everything, would that be a fair statement, you think, or otherwise?
I think so, because he does have experience matters. When you parachute into a new system, it takes a while, and you have to get chemistry. But some of that can be done soon. When they start the 7-on-7 drills in a couple of weeks, a lot can happen between quarterbacks and wide receivers. And you know Kiffin's going to be watching that very closely. I think there'll be a lot more progress made before we get to the beginning of camp because of that. Thanks for the call. Very interesting question there. Let's check out Bob in California. You're on the air. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Paul. I'm a big USC fan, but once they join the Big Ten, it's hard to be a big SEC fan when their rivalry is Rutgers. So my question is, has the SEC ever thought about having a tournament like in football where they'll play the Big Ten in 1 week or in a 2 week period of time, where the Big Ten will play the SEC conferences in football, like Alabama, Michigan, or Penn State, Auburn? Would they ever consider that?
I don't
that?
Think so. It's hard to do, particularly now with all the multifaceted television contracts. It would have been a good idea, though. I don't know if you could have pulled it off, but I mean, I guess you could have. You could have done it the first week of the year when everybody, you've got seven schools, and they all, you know, you break it up somehow or half play at the other school, and it would have been pretty exciting. Not happening now, though. Way too, we're too far gone for that to occur. Hey, thank you for the call, though. It's a good question. Gary in Rhode Island. Hello, Gary. Gary, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, good. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. What do you think is going to happen to the ACC and the SEC? I know the ACC schools are locked into that crazy contract, but at some point it's going to implode, or they'll implode themselves. What schools then would likely end up in the SEC? Any ACC schools, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, if it imploded and schools were up for grabs, then you start to determine who is the most attractive school in the ACC, and there are some varied opinions on that. Let me identify who would be in contention: Clemson, obviously, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina. I think those are the four that would garner the most attention. I think North Carolina would be able to perhaps go to the Big Ten or the SEC. Florida State, Clemson, Miami, I think, are clearly would be SEC bound.
Yeah, now Florida State seems to have the most eyes when you look at the TV ratings and that sort of stuff.
Well, that's important. Virginia Tech is thought to be attractive, but I don't think Virginia Tech would be in that top four range, in spite of everything that they have there. But I still think that North Carolina is the school that brings you so many different things. And I know people don't think about North Carolina necessarily as a football power. They aren't, but they're also not bad, and they're also coming. They come from a populated state.
And they're a good match for the Big Ten, both their
academic rankings. I think in some ways North Carolina would appeal more to the Big Ten than even the SEC.
Yeah, because no one's ever thought about basketball as a driver for the consolidation, but Big Ten basketball is very competitive,
as you know. It's not critical, but at this point it would factor in, because you bring in North Carolina and you're adding, one of the top programs of all time in basketball, a good enough football program, a program with tremendous fan base, too. Hey, thank you for the call. Excellent. Very good. Let's check in with Jimmy, who is in Mississippi. Hello, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yes, this Paul?
It is. Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir. I would like to ask you, I'm a humongous Miami Hurricane fan, and I was wondering if you think 50 years from now, do you think the 87 to 2002 15-year streak we went through will be better remembered, or the last 15-year stretch Alabama's gone through? Which one's going to be the bigger draw of who you think's better?
I think it will be Alabama for one specific reason: Nick Saban. The problem with Miami's stretch, and it was unbelievable, don't take anything away from it, is you had, three different coaches down there during
right.
that? So, and I think it's so much
right.
easier to gravitate toward the Saban dynasty versus Miami's run.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And there's absolutely no bias in that answer, none whatsoever. Tom is in Georgia, and you are next up. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
And I wanted to know what your opinion is about the fairness of the ticket sales at the Mercedes when you have the, each team getting like 12,000 tickets. So then the balance of all the tickets are with the season ticket holders and the sponsors and all the people generally from around Atlanta. And when you have Kirby calling for the crowd to get really loud, and the importance of the championship with the playoffs, do you think it's fair that it's one-sided, heavily with the crowd noise?
I understand your concern, but I really do not believe a crowd has affected that game. I've seen Georgia lose to LSU over there a couple of times. I've seen Georgia lose to Alabama. When you show me a crowd playing and having an impact on the outcome of the game, I would be more concerned. And you know, where else do you put the game? Do you, I mean, the only other logical site, I think, for the SEC championship game down the road would be Nashville once the indoor stadium is built. But right now, Mercedes just simply is the best option.
Well, I agree. I mean, you got the airport. You got Atlanta's got a lot.
And it's also drivable too for so many schools. The one thing, Tom, I think it's going to be interesting to see where the SEC is in a couple of years once it adds the Texas-Oklahoma contingent. Does that change the way the SEC looks at things? And I know the contract in Atlanta is pretty extensive in terms of years. I don't know how many more years it's, but I know the SEC really likes being there. But it's a very comfortable place because it encompasses so many different fan bases that are very close by. Forget the airport. You know, there are not that many people that fly to the SEC championship game. If it's Alabama and Georgia, that's a drive for most fans. Hey, up against the break, we will continue. We'll talk more with some of our guests as well. We are 90 minutes in on a Tuesday afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Jerry is up next. Good afternoon, Jerry. Thank you. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, sir?
We are great. Thank you for asking.
Listen, I've been a loyal follower and listener of your show for years, and I hadn't talked to you in a couple of years. But I've got a two-part question, and I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer. Texas and Oklahoma, when they do make it to the SEC, have they decided – for sure how they're going to do the alignment in the SEC, east and west, or just one? And how will they do the baseball, east and west, or just one big, long conference? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That is about to be determined, and I think it's leaning toward no division, no alignment, just one conference. I think it's the best way to do it for everything, and then the scheduling is a little more complex. Basketball already has done away with divisions, and it's worked out very well. Blake is in Alabama. You're on the air. Hello, Blake.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I'm the first time caller, man, long time listener. I want to tell you just a quick story about how I started listening to your show about 12 years ago. I was a knucklehead in my 20s, and I ended up doing some time in prison behind some stuff I did. But anyway, around 2 o'clock every day, I was in prison down in Clio, Alabama. Do you know where Clio is, Paul?
I know George Wallace is from there.
It's Barber County, right around
Dothan. Dothan. I didn't know where it is.
So it's in the middle of nowhere, and radio service is just awful. But me and a couple of my buddies at 2 o'clock, you know, Central Standard Time, your show would come on. I don't think you were on TV then.
No. We just started TV 9 years ago.
So we had to find you, and we found out if we got real close to these certain steel beams in the prison dorm, we could listen to you, and we would sit there, man, for 3 or 4 hours and just listen to your show, and we would make our little parlay bets off of your suggestions, and you know, it's how we kept up with everything, and then we would.
Now, Mike, was this a county lockup?
No, this is a state penitentiary, the Alabama Department of Corrections. I was a baseball player in college, Paul, and just got in some trouble, just a college kid and a little knucklehead, and ended up doing some time behind it. But anyway, I've been listening to you for a long time, first-time caller. I'm a diehard Auburn fan. I have been all my life. My wife cheered at Auburn for 3 years during the Brandon Cox years, those late 2010s where we never lost to Alabama for like 6 years. And so just always been a diehard Auburn fan. And my question is your realistic expectations for our season? Hugh Freeze is obviously, I live in Phenix City, which is about 30 minutes from Auburn, and he's just brought in, just injected life back into the program. And he's on the recruiting trail, which is nice to see after, you know, the 2 years that we went through with Harsin. And we just picked up another transfer wide receiver from North Texas, Jair Shorter, today. And I've seen on some apps and news programs and analysts, they're saying, you know, maybe a bowl game. The ceiling's probably a 7-win season. But I just want to get your realistic expectation. I know it's hard to make that suggestion. We haven't seen him play yet on the field. But, you know, what does it look like for us to possibly win the West? I know we go all Tuscaloosa. Alabama has to come to us. Georgia has to come to us. And, Paul, I just want to get your take on it realistically. What do you think the ceiling is for Auburn football this year?
Blake, first of all, I'm really appreciative of what you said about your earlier life. I think the ceiling is probably 8 wins, and I am well aware, as you probably are, expectations have been exceeded. I mean, all you have to do is go back 10 years ago, Gus Malzahn's first year, people were expecting maybe a .500 record, and he came within 13 seconds of winning the title. I think the schedule is, I think unless something really is odd, the idea of winning at A&M, at LSU, Arkansas, handling Alabama at home is too much. It's not impossible to, you know, upset somebody. I think that can happen. By the way, and I completely overlooked Georgia. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you have two of the – you have – in that schedule, you have three of the top 10 teams in the country. You've got at least one other one, two other ones that I think will be ranked. I don't see it happening. I think 8 wins is doable, and in a perfect world, maybe pushing that a little bit, but I don't think it's going to happen this year.
All right. Well, I see where you're coming from, Paul. Obviously, you know, as a – we want to win the Natty every year, but that's not
here. Hey, listen, you be well, and you don't be a stranger. Check in with us now and then, Blake.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
That's a great call. I'm always amazed about people that are in lock that are locked up that listen. A guy I know. I didn't know him that well, but I did know him. He went to jail 15, 20 years ago at a white collar penitentiary in Maxwell Air Force Base, right outside of Montgomery. And he said he was there, I think, 2 years or 3 years. And this place had the reputation of being a country club. Now, easy for me to say, sitting on the other side of the bar. But he said the only problem he ever had there in the 3 years, he would listen to our show every afternoon. They had they would let them out in the yard. And finally, some guy walked up to him after 2 years and said, "Why do you listen to that blank every day? That's the worst show I've ever heard." And that's the only time he nearly got into an altercation over this show. That other prisoner was pretty smart. Let's talk to Melissa in Indianapolis. Huh. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, how are you, Paul Feinbein?
We are doing great. Thank you.
All right. Hey, couple little questions. UK basketball, what do you think about that right now?
The big year. Great recruiting class coming in.
Yeah.
And it's time to be Kentucky again.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen. Season ticket holders from forever and ever. And my next big question, well, I called in. This is a weird statement. I want to meet Charles Barkley. I love him. I love his attitude, and he speaks what he wants, does he not?
I've known Charles 40 years, and he is one of those people that you never forget when you meet. He's exactly the same way on and off the air, and I just want to know how many people you can say that about. Authentic, real, a good person, and I know it's easy to throw cliches around, Melissa, when we're talking about people like that, but this guy would do anything, and he has done so many things to help people that, and he would be the last person in the world that needs another compliment, needs another story done on him, needs anything said about him. That's to me, that those who do things that don't need and don't want the adulation. I mean, you can't when you're. I mean, the stories are legendary about him being near Leeds, where he grew up. This time of the year, and there are 15, 20 teenagers in there celebrating the prom, having dinner, and he'll pick up the tab. I mean, that is just a standard thing that Charles does. Thanks for the call. It's so great to see him whenever we get the opportunity. We're up against a break. More of your phone calls, more guests. We're coming right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Jimmy is up next, calling from Alaska. Hello, Jimmy.
What's going on, P-Town?
We are doing
Paul
great.
Paul Feinbaum in the flesh.
What's up in Alaska?
It's breakup season up here, and, you know, good fishing coming. Them good pink salmon about to run. You know, all the mountains clearing off with all the snow is... Lovely day today.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I just want to call and tell you, you know, I don't know if you remember me from the last time when I called you and told you that I wanted some smoke with you. You remember that?
I do remember that, Jimmy. I remember it well.
Well, I'm calling back again. I got some more smoke about Lane Kiffin. And every time a job opened up, Paul Feinbaum telling the world Lane Kiffin finna take this job, that job, or this or Michigan job. So, you know, I just wanted to talk to you about
Jimmy. He was going to Auburn before he wasn't, and
we can't confirm or deny it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what exactly went down there, but I think about 9.5 million things went down there, and that's why he stayed at Ole Miss.
Oh yeah. 9 million good reasons, and you know, Auburn just loved the University of Ole Miss so much that they had to go get either Lane Kiffin or our ex-coach. So, you know, Auburn is actually worse than Texas A&M.
I think they did better with Hugh Freeze than Lane Kiffin.
Hey, well, one thing about it, though, this is what you cannot deny. Since Lane Kiffin has got there, he's brought in a better caliber of prospect than even Hugh Freeze has. When Hugh Freeze was here, yes, he brought in some high caliber guys, but I'm talking about, like, just overall.
Oh, you're right. I mean, Treadwell, Tunstall. I mean, there were some amazing players. But I think both schools did well because Kiffin was conflicted. So if you're conflicted, don't go. And he stayed.
Exactly.
And I think Ole Miss has a chance to be really good this year, and the enthusiasm for a few freezes through the roof right now.
Hey, well, we got Pete Golden on that defense, and we're going to see if Hugh Freeze is going to be able to keep his offensive prowess.
Well, but, yeah, you hit the defensive coordinator lottery, Jimmy, by getting Pete Golden.
Exactly. And so I'm very excited about that. I want to see what Pete Golden can bring to Ole Miss. And, you know, defense win championships and offense sells tickets and defense win championships. So, I hope we can finally get us one in the great state of Mississippi.
Well, Jimmy, you keep calling. Always fun to catch up. Let's check out Jarrell up next. Jarrell, go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, I was just calling to talk about my Florida Gators. You know, I've been watching them since I was a little kid, and I hate to see them get beat up on like this. I'm sick of looking at it. What you think they're going to do this year?
Maybe one more year before the great Billy Napier revival goes into full boat. I don't see a great season coming out of this year. Do you?
Yeah, I don't either. I think when this quarterback we got get in a couple years from now, we should be able to run over some things. I'm tired of hearing about Florida, sorry, this and that. They changing too many coaches.
It's time for Florida to get serious. Now, if there's a game on September 16th, if Florida can turn that game, I think they're off and running. But the Utah game looks impossible. Kentucky, there's just a lot of tricky games on the schedule. Thank you for the call. Cameron is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Cameron.
Hi.
Hi there.
So I was wanting to ask you, what are the chances that Tennessee beats Georgia in Knoxville this year?
You think Tennessee will?
I do. Well, I think with Hooker gone, it's going to be harder, but
Milton's a good quarterback, Cameron. I don't see it, but yeah. I need to see Georgia before. It will be a very dangerous game for Georgia, but right now I'd still lean toward the Bulldogs. You take care of yourself. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Mac is in Georgia. Hey, Mac.
Hey, my friend. I was talking to you a couple of years ago, and I said I didn't think Georgia was ever going to win the championship. And you said never was a long time.
Well,
you were right.
Not very long, but
You remember me saying that?
I do, and I think that was easy to say. Georgia looked doomed, but they're not doomed anymore.
Well, I get to talk to your buddy Keith every once in a while at the coffee shop.
Well, you tell Keith he owes me a call. I haven't talked to him in a while.
I'll do that. He's a gentleman to talk to. He knows a whole lot.
Keith Donovan is one of the smartest people we've ever talked to here.
He is. I can't wait to sit down with him. I'm surprised that he don't get irritated with us coming around there trying to ask him questions, but he never does. He talks to us and tells us all about everything. I always brag on him about that Saturday down south, how smart he is, you know.
Keith's a former sports writer turned author, historian. He's a brilliant person.
Yeah, he's writing about the airplanes and all, too, you know.
Yeah, I don't know where he comes up with some of the topics for his books, he wrote arguably the best book on Coach Bryant. Mac, you be well. You take care of yourself. Paul is in New Jersey on the air. Hello, Paul.
How you doing?
Paul, we are doing well. Thank you.
Yes, I was a Penn State fan, and now I'm a Florida Gators fan.
That's quite a switch.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think Big Ten is good, but I think I like the SEC better.
So, how, Paul, how do you make a switch from Penn State to Florida when you live in Jersey?
Good question. I don't really know the answer to that, but I like to pick teams from.
I wasn't trying to stump you. I just thought it was. I felt like as a reporter, I was compelled to ask that question.
It is just kind of the switch. I try to just pick the best team out there.
Well, you did not choose well by picking Florida.
Yeah, Florida is a really good school, and I kind of like Tim Tebow too. So
should have gone with Georgia. They're going to be the best team. Anyway, I did not understand that rationale, but it's probably on me, not on our caller from New Jersey. We'll take a short break. We are back with a couple more hours. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.